Good morning, Cornerstone. Happy Father's Day. We're going to talk about Father's Day a little bit today, but not a lot. The sermon's not going to be about Father's Day. But I do want to welcome you to Cornerstone today. Welcome those of you who are on live stream. Steven, welcome from South Africa. I know he's with us today. And this morning, we're going to start with a new song. It's called Our God Saves. And the reason we're singing this song today is because next Sunday is Church at the Park. And there's going to be other new songs that you haven't heard before. And this is one of the new songs. So this is kind of like practice for worship next Sunday when we get together with some other churches. So you aren't like, I don't even know any of these songs. Like, this is one you're going to know now because we're going to sing it together. It's called Our God Saves. And it kind of like when some people say, well, why do we even do Church at the Park? Why do we get together with other churches? And the best answer I can come up with is what Jesus said in John 17. Jesus was praying hours before the cross. And he prays for his disciples, he prays for himself, and he's just pouring his heart out to God. And then at this point in John chapter 17, he says, and now I want to pray for those who are going to come later. Those who aren't even alive yet. I want to pray for future generations. And what did he pray? He said, my prayer is not for them alone, meaning his disciples. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message. What did he pray? That all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I've given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one, I in them and you in me. May they be brought to complete unity to let the world know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. The one thing on his heart is that the future church would be together, would be one. The true church, the church that believes in Jesus Christ as the Savior of the world. And the reason he prays for that is so the rest of people can see that it's true. So unity among God's church is a big deal. It's important. And this song kind of sings about that a little bit. So why don't you learn it with me? Rise to your feet. Let's get some energy. Even as you learn it, just sing out. We're going to sing it a couple of times. You're going to get it by the end. It's not super, super hard. Whose name are we singing? We're singing the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. In the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Spirit, Lord, we come. We're gathered together to lift up your name, to call on our Savior. Fall on your grace. We'll do that again. In the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Spirit, Lord, we come. We're gathered together to lift up your name, to call on our Savior, to fall on your grace. Hear the joyful sound of our offering, as your saints bow down, as your people sing, we'll rise with you, lifted on your wings, and the world will see that our God. The Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Spirit, Lord, we come. We're gathered together to lift up your name, to call on our Savior, to fall on your grace. Hear the joyful sound of our offering, as your saints bow down, as your people sing. On your wings, and the world will see that our God saves, our God. joyful sound. Hear the joyful sound of our offering. As your saints bow down, as your people sing, we will rise with you, lifted on your wing, and the world will see that. The world will see that our God saves. Our God saves. There is hope. There is hope. It's in your name, the name of Jesus. Morning turns with songs of praise. Our God saves. 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 Amen. We're going to sing that in the park, and they're going to hear that on Main Street. Our God saves. Our God saves. Well, happy Father's Day, and welcome to Cornerstone today. We're going to sing about the Father that we can all rely on. You know, we all have different fathers, and some of them, I can thank God for this about my dad, and I can't thank God for this about my dad, but we have a Father together in our unity in Christ. We have a Father who is good. He's good, good, good. He's faithful. He's with us. He's loyal. He never fails us, never lets us down. We can trust him. So let's sing to our good, good Father. Heard a thousand stories of what they think you're like, but I've heard the tender whisper of love in the dead of night, and you tell me that you're pleased and that I'm never alone. You're a good, good Father. Provide, 'cause you know just what we need before we say a word. You're a good, good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways to us. Love so undeniable, I can hardly speak. Peace so unexplainable, I can hardly think, as you call me deeper still, as you call me deeper still, as you call me deeper still, and a love, love, love. You're a good, good father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. Good Father, it's who you are, it's who you are, it's who you are, and I'm loved by you. It's who I am, it's who I am, it's who I am. You are perfect in all of your ways, you are perfect in all of your ways. 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 To good Father, it's who you are, it's who you are, it's who you are, and I'm loved by you. It's who I am, it's who I am, it's who I am. You're a good, good Father, it's who you are, it's who you are, it's who you are. Pray. God, we bow before you, the good, good Father. We sang this line a couple times. You are perfect in all of your ways. God, you are sovereign over all creation, every detail of our lives. You are perfect in all of your ways. And we struggle to believe that sometimes. We struggle to grasp and understand it. But God, help us to hold on to that, that you are perfect in all of your ways. We can trust you in all the stuff that we face. So God, as a good Father, we look to you, we love you, we delight in you, and I pray that we'll learn from you and we'll learn a little bit more about your wisdom and just understanding where you're coming from and the wisdom you've created for us and shared with us. Thanks for your word, God. It's life. It's life for us. So teach us from it today as we open it up. Teach us about what you have to say about anger. It's your word speaks directly to the core things in our lives. And God, we just want to understand you better and follow you more closely. So use this time, God. We've given it to you. We're here on this day. We sing to you and we will learn from you. And just use this time for your honor, your name, and for our good. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Well, we're going to let the kids head down to Children's Church, third grade and below. And everybody else, question of the day. You might be sitting down, but you might need to hop back up again. This is a question to share with somebody near you. You can turn around or you can rise to your feet. What do you want people to remember you for? Kind of a deeper one. What do you want to be remembered for? Share that with somebody near you, and we'll come back together in a minute. Are we good? Are we good? You guys have done a great job filling in the back rows first. Wonderful job. There's plenty of room for people in the front. If anybody comes late, that's good. All right. I need you to name that tune. Here you go, guys. Each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to his neighbor, for we are all members of one body. Where does that come from?
Bible.
The Bible. Okay, let's narrow it down just a teeny tiny bit. Where else did it come from? Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4 what?
28.
Close, 28? 25. Ephesians 4, 25. This is where we were last week. Just a tiny, tiny bit of review. Last week, we talked about this commitment to honesty, right? This is not a Father's Day sermon. This isn't just like, I'm not going to just bean all the dads. Like, here's how you are failing, how you need to do better. This is for all of us, okay? We talked about honesty, one of these five essential commitments to healthy relationships. So honesty, if you were here last week, hopefully you processed that some. How is that going for you this week? Did anything come up where you were tempted to not use honesty, to maybe hide the truth or maybe exaggerate something to win an argument? I got busted on that. I was caught exaggerating and one of my kids called me out. Praise Jesus. I've got accountability in my life. They listened to the sermon. They called me out on my own preaching. It's good. It's good. Maybe you struggle with being honest with yourself, dwelling on the negatives, making a big deal of that and ignoring the positives. We can go there too, right? Well, I confessed last Sunday, I was being tested. Last Sunday, I got a text message early in the morning that I wanted to respond with, shall we say, unloving honesty. I just wanted to give it to her. I just wanted to let her have it, give her a piece of my mind. I was upset, which is actually what this next commitment is going to be about. But I felt like this person was being dishonest and unfair, and I was mad about it. But I held my tongue. I did not crank off a text like I wanted to and just send it. I waited a few hours. Got some advice from my wife. But I made, yes, praise Jesus for that too. If you don't have a wife, you may have someone else who you can get honesty from and help from. But I ended up calling the person that Sunday afternoon. So several hours passed. I made the phone call and they were willing to do that. And we got to have an honest conversation. And both sides, like I could listen to what she had to say. And you know, hearing more of the story always helps. And then I got to share some things that I felt like I needed to say and listen to what she had to say. And it didn't actually change the situation as much as I hoped it would. You know, you get this thing in your mind like, this is going to do it. This is going to fix it. It doesn't always work that way. But I did what I could, and I left the results with God. And my anger cooled. If you're trying to live out these commitments, and you're not used to being honest in a godly kind of way, it might be clunky at first. It might be awkward. It might not go well. It's kind of like learning how to walk, and that's okay. Trust God and keep doing it. Just trust God and keep doing it. The first commitment essential to healthy relationships is a commitment to honesty. A commitment to honesty. The second commitment, which is going to take us a few weeks to get all five, okay? I'm just telling you now. We're not doing the other four today. We're doing one more today. We're just going to take it slow, steep in this for a while. This is like a good tea or coffee that's been soaking, cold brew coffee. Like, let's brew it all night long. The second commitment is a commitment to deal with today's problems today. Today's problems today, and a lot of us have trouble with this. We struggle. This is about anger and how we process it. How we process anger. And you might notice if you're a thinking person, you look at these commitments and you say, you know what, they're kind of related. They kind of overlap sometimes. Sometimes they interact with each other. For instance, somebody violates commitment number one, they're not honest with you, and what happens to you? You're ready to violate number two. I'm going to deal with anger not in a great way. Maybe I'm going to stew on it. Maybe I'll hold resentment. Maybe I'll gossip about them, but I'm not going to actually deal with it, right? So these things, I violate one and you violate another, and this goes really well, right? It really helps when there's multiple people violating these commitments at the same time. You understand. Good.
in mathematics, it's possible for two negatives to make a positive. I confirmed that with my daughter, who's a math major, getting ready to teach math. Yes, in some occasions, not always, but in some occasions, two negatives can make a positive. That does not work in relationships. Ephesians 4, verse 26 and 27. This is our passage for today. If you got a Bible, this is where you can stay pretty much the whole time. Ephesians 4, 26. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you're still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold. That's it. In your anger, don't sin. Don't let the sun go down while you're still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold. This is God's word. This is some instruction. This is some wisdom. So I was pondering the concept of anger. Just for an idea, like how many of you feel like, yeah, I do kind of struggle with anger sometimes. Struggle with anger. Some of us are more prone to anger than others. Some people are like, let it go. Nothing makes me mad. Some people are like that. Praise God. There's people in the world like that. Some of us don't work that way. We struggle with anger. So I'm thinking about anger. What's behind it? What's underneath it? What's anger really all about? And I had this thought. And I brought it to my wife and my kids. I brought it to some people. Like, what do you guys think about this? And you can think about it too. Here's what I thought about anger. Anger often arises out of an unsatisfied desire to control. I want you to think about that. Is that true? That's not a Bible verse. It's just me thinking about these Bible verses and trying to process. Do you think that's true? Anger often arises out of an unsatisfied desire to control. Think about what makes you angry. I get angry because somebody's acting in a way I don't want them to act, right? And it could be a huge big picture thing like the slave trade in William Wilberforce. He had righteous anger about that. You should be. People are acting in a way I don't want them to act. Our anger is not usually for such great causes like that, but it's okay if it is. So you want them to do something that they're not doing or not do something they are doing, right? So you might say, that's not a control issue. I don't need to control them. They just need to not do what's making me so mad. Well, that's control, okay? That is control. I want it to go a certain way. When it doesn't, I get angry. And so keep in mind, as we talk about anger, anger can be about good things and it can be about bad things. Anger is not always wrong. Okay? So what makes you angry? As we get into this, what makes you angry? Don't answer. You might want to write it on your notes. Here's some things that make me angry. But it might make you angry to think about that. So let's maybe hold that. How about this? What causes your anger to subside? What makes your anger go away? I'd suggest two things. One is either you get what you wanted, or you let go of it. Let go of control. Those are two main ways that our anger subsides. I get what I wanted, or I let go of control. There was a time when certain unnamed children of mine would come home from school and dump their backpack and all their worldly belongings on my chair in the living room. I know. Like this was repeat offense. This isn't just one time, okay? These were serial repeat offenders again and again and again. And maybe they would work on homework there, maybe not. But I'd get home. I just want to sit down in my chair and relax for a minute. I mean, is that too big to ask? I walk into my living room, I want to sit on my chair, and I can hardly see it under the piles of laptops and notebooks and bags. I mean, I can't even see my chair anymore. So guess what that does inside of me? Peaceful feelings of harmony. No, I'm mad. You can sit in my chair, that's fine, but you may not occupy my chair with your junk. And so I would feel completely justified in aggressively dumping their junk onto the floor. Laptops, I don't care. You left it there, you shouldn't have. Dumping their junk on the floor, and I'm going to sit. Why am I angry? because my kids are not acting the way I want them to. They are disrupting my desire to relax the way I want. And you know how hard it is to lift up stuff off of the chair after a hard day of work to lift up a kid's backpack? I have back issues, you know. I know. I'm supposed to be the perfect pastor dad. This is Father's Day. Let me tell you how to be a father. Let me just show you. Let me show you by example. My kids never get under my skin. I'm the epitome of patience, right? I mean, no, this is real, right? We have anger about stupid stuff. Some of us have anger about some real heavy stuff too. So let's talk about all of it. Actually, the chair example, that was from a long time ago. That's not really happening anymore. I mean, I'm over that. Now, when I come home, I just sit crisscross applesauce on the floor in my living room and just thankful that my kids are using my chair. Right? Yeah, right. Actually, it has gotten better. They haven't done it as much. There's another sofa that occupies that position now, which I don't like anyway. So we're good. We're good. What does God have to say to us about our anger? What does he have to say? Let's hear it again. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you're still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold. Okay. This is our next commitment for healthy relationships. Deal with today's problems today. We're talking about handling anger in a godly way. Deal with today's problems today. Now, of course, you know, everybody knows real Christians don't get angry, right? I mean, real Christians don't get angry. Isn't that true? I mean, if you get angry, you must be a bad Christian. Some of you are like, I gotta find a better church where a better pastor doesn't get angry all the time. Some people think that real Christians don't get angry. They think Christians who are genuinely walking with Jesus will not get angry because, after all, the fruits of the Spirit are love, joy, peace. Think about how these relate to anger. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness, self-control. I mean, these things are like opposites of what anger does when it's flowing out of us, right? And so some Christians live with the perpetual feeling of guilt because they do get angry. But does Paul in Ephesians actually forbid anger? Did you look at the first word? In your anger, do not sin. Paul assumes anger. That's a little different from assuming you're not going to be angry. He assumes you will. He assumes anger. That's kind of a big difference. In your anger, do not sin. So somebody's stuff is in my chair. I'm angry. Okay, that's real. That's real. Now here's the test. What am I going to do? Because anger is going to happen to you. Maybe today, maybe tomorrow, but sometime this week, probably anger is going to happen to you. That's not sin. It's an emotion that wells up inside of us, sometimes for good reason, sometimes for selfish reason, but it's an emotion that comes up. The question is, what am I going to do now that I have it? And that's where your character is tested and revealed. What am I going to do now that I feel this? Last Sunday, I resisted the urge to shoot off that angry text in response, gave myself time to calm down, talk to God, got some advice from my wife, asked the person for a phone call. That was better than my first idea. It was. I did okay that time. I don't always get it right. So don't feel guilty that you have anger. Sometimes that's the right emotion for the moment. The question is, what am I going to do with my anger? And the command here is that when we're angry, we control ourselves. We don't allow sinful outbursts or revenge or gossip or slander. And our anger is under control. So I'm like, I can't control myself. Actually, you can. And I remember watching a set of marriage DVDs called Love and Respect, and maybe some of you saw them. But the speaker was talking about anger, particularly between a husband and wife, and describing a couple in an argument. And the wife is basically just screaming at her husband in anger. I can't believe you did that again. And I'm so mad. I can't believe this. Going ballistic, losing it on the phone rings. Hello?
Oh, how are you? Oh, yes, I'm fine. A little phone call, hang up the phone, and furthermore, like, it's right back. That anger is directed. It's under control. We can stop it if we want to. But we don't want to, necessarily. Our response to our anger flows out of who we are in Christ, right? Back to Ephesians 1 to 3. Who am I? We are adopted children of God. We're forgiven of a lot. We are redeemed by the Son of God, the King of heaven. We have the Holy Spirit in us who gives us a strength and perspective we did not have before. And by the way, part of that perspective shift includes the realization that God is judge over all. He is judge, which means if I trust God as the just and righteous judge, I don't have to bring justice to this person myself. I don't have to do that. I don't have to get even because God is the righteous judge, not me. That's a perspective shift. If I trust him to do it, I don't have to do it. And guess who does it better? Me! Not really. So when anger starts to rise up in me because someone is not doing what I really want him to do, I can fall back on who I am and who he is. And remember, I don't get to control this person. I'm not in control of this person. They will stand before God for that. And if God decides I'm going to be merciful, praise God, because he was merciful to me. If he decides to bring consequences and trials to teach them something, to take them further in their walk, praise God for that. But he's the judge, not me. I can still address it. I can still talk about it if it's important enough, but I don't control that person. I can't. You can pray. You can confront. If they're your own kids, you can bring some consequences potentially. But when you give back to God your need to control them, your need to have it go this way, when you give back to God the role of judge that he deserves, that he is worthy of, when I give those things back to God, guess what happens to my sinful anger? It goes with it. It goes with it. It's a natural thing. That's what happens. You may still have some righteous anger, if depending on the situation, but the self-centered anger is gone. In your anger, do not sin. Think this could help us in our relationships? A little bit? Maybe? But we got to go further because it's not all he says. This commitment is not only to not sin in our anger. Like I'm just fuming all the time and holding myself back. It's not just that. He said this commitment is also to not give anger room in my heart. Right? Verse 26, in your anger do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you're still angry. There's a time element here. Don't let the sun go down. So, just make sure I'm not getting off in the notes here. The idea is when anger rises up, you got to deal with it quickly. Quickly. And I used to be super strict literalist about this. And maybe even to the point where if the sun has already gone down and I'm angry, I got 24 hours. Sun already went down. I can go to bed on this one. But really, I had this literalist commitment that if Ann and I got into an argument, we better fix it today. Today. We have to do that because that's what it says. Don't let the sun go down on your anger. And that's generally a good approach. That's generally wise. The problem was for us, if it was too late at night, we started losing productivity in our arguing. And we started getting too tired to really think carefully. And we started going places and it just was getting more frustrating and not really helping. Later it got, the worse we felt sometimes. But in my counseling training, we're taught we got to solve today's problems today. We got to do this. Don't give it time to fester. That has a lot of wisdom. But what if you can't? What if you can't? We're talking about anger and what it does to us. What if we're trying and not getting anywhere, not making any progress? What if the other party's not available, not willing? What if the other party's dead? And I've got this anger. What if they're living, but they're completely unwilling to talk? Well, do they have me locked in that I'm stuck in this sin, violating this commitment? I can't deal with today's problems today. Do they hold my heart hostage? Look closer. What does the verse actually say? Don't let the sun go down, what? While you are still angry. It doesn't say resolve the issue before darkness falls. It doesn't say resolve. To resolve the issue clearly helps deal with my anger. That maybe helps get me what I want. God didn't say I have to resolve the problem. He didn't say that. The verse says I need to deal with my anger. This is talking about my heart. Whether the relationship is resolved or not, I need to not go to bed angry. Can I do that without resolution in a situation that really matters to me? Can I do that? No, I can't. Yes, I can. Yes, I can. If I can't reach resolution with the other person, I can still get there with God. I can. Before I go to sleep, I can get there with God. 1 Peter 5:7, Peter said, cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. That's an invitation, my friends. He wants to be our refuge. Bring it to him. He wants to be our safe place. You can bring it all to him. Acknowledge to God your anger. I'm so mad right now. Acknowledge, I want to control this situation. I want to control this person. I'm so frustrated. It's not working. And then with a spirit of surrender, you just climb right up into Jesus' lap in prayer. And maybe you say something like this. Jesus, I give this to you. I'm so angry. Help me release my anger. I know I can't control that person as much as I want to. Even if my anger is justified, help me remember how much you've already forgiven me. I give this person to you. Help me now to trust you as the one who brings perfect justice. I'm trusting you with name that person, name that situation. Take my anger, Jesus. I don't want to be consumed by it anymore. And help me to love this person the way you love me. When I do that, and then I go to sleep, guess where my heart's going to be the next day? More ready to reconcile with the person, right? Guess what happens to my anger? It softens. And you may need to have that talk with God multiple times a day about the same thing. But you might want to write down some of those concepts, some of those statements. Those might be helpful. That might be helpful for you to go back to later. But this is how you can deal with your anger when the problem isn't yet resolved. Of course, it's better to reconcile with the person same day if you possibly can. And I suggest as God's church, we need a stronger commitment to doing that. But if it can't happen, if it can't happen, I don't need anybody else to do anything in order for me and God to deal with my anger in a healthy way. You hear that? I don't need anybody else to do anything else in order for me and God to deal with my anger in a healthy way. That's hopeful. Nobody can hold me hostage. That was liberating for me. It's not a loophole to stay angry. It's not a loophole to just be mad at somebody and hold on to it. This is freedom to deal with my anger with God regardless of what the other person's doing. And if I can do that, that positions me better for reconciliation with that person when they are ready. Ephesians 4. Let's go back to verse 25 now. Get the bigger picture. Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to his neighbor, for we are all members of one body. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you're still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold. So first commitment, be honest, right? Second commitment, let's deal with today's problems today. To the extent that we're able. Now, each of these passages has, each of these commitments has a reason, right? We looked at the first one last time. What's the reason I need to commit to honesty? Because we're part of the same body. Same body, physical body. Remember we talked about that? Like same body, not just same church, same family, same community. No, same body. This matters. We need to be honest with each other because we're part of the same body. Second commitment, what's the reason given to deal with our anger on the same day? Why? Because he gives us a reason. For each one of these commitments, he gives us a reason. What happens when we don't? Oh, you give Satan a foothold. Do not give the devil a foothold. By allowing myself to stew in my anger, I'm giving the devil a foothold in my life. You might want to sit up on that one. We might want to pay attention, okay? Does anybody here want to give the devil a foothold? Do you know what a foothold is? Anybody like to climb? Like if you're climbing rocks, a foothold is that ledge that you can put your foot on and get up. It's leverage. It's a space. It's traction. You're giving traction to the devil. That's what he says. This is God's word. Don't do this. He knows what gives the devil a foothold. He knows what gives the devil a foothold in our lives. Nobody here got up this morning thinking, I'd like to give the devil a foothold in my life today. First thought of the day. You got a little reminder on your phone. Don't forget to give the devil a foothold. I don't think so. I did see a teenager a couple weeks ago that had a t-shirt on. And you've heard the slogan, not today, Satan, right? Not today. His t-shirt said, maybe today, Satan. Maybe today. He's open to the foothold. I don't think if you're here today, you're probably saying maybe today. How about maybe you come a little closer, Satan? He's real. We have an enemy. He hates us. He wants to destroy us. He's looking for footholds. He's looking for weaknesses. Anger is like a I don't even, fireworks going off. Hey, here's one over here. Here's a weakness. Come here. You can pound that one. Weakness. You can get right in there. Don't let it linger. So what does it mean to give the devil a foothold? Let's think about that for a second. That I want to tell you, I want to make sure you understand, this is not about demon possession. We're not talking about demon possession. I think that's a real thing too. Anger is not a portal for demons to enter at will. That's not what this is. As followers of Jesus, we have the Holy Spirit in us. If you are a follower, if you're not, I have nothing for you. But if you are a follower of Jesus, you've got the Holy Spirit in you. The only thing I have for you is offer the Holy Spirit. You want the Holy Spirit, then you're safe. Okay, so unholy spirits may not possess those with the Holy Spirit. It doesn't work that way. There's no room for them. But they can influence from the outside. Don't give the devil a foothold is teaching that lingering anger makes space for Satan's influence. It makes space. The word foothold is literally space. That's what the Greek word is. The Greek word is topon, kind of like topton, right? You've heard of topton before? It's not about the devil. It's not. But topon, everybody say topon. There you go. That's the Greek word for space or foothold. Don't give the devil topon. Don't give him space. So it's not possession where he controls you. It's influence where you give him voice. And what is the voice you're likely to hear from the devil? What kind of things is he going to say? Thoughts about revenge? Thoughts about what that person deserves? Thoughts of unforgiveness? Maybe some self-pity, right? These are thoughts that the enemy might want to feed into your mind if you give him some space. Maybe this is a question more for the guys. Maybe the ladies don't struggle with this, but have you ever had a random thought out of the blue that was disturbingly violent? Yeah, the guy, ladies are like, huh? Some of the ladies are like, oh yeah, I'm not out of this one. Where did that thought come from? Devil made me do it? We do have the capacity to come up with those thoughts all by ourselves. We do. But when we allow anger to linger in us, we're giving space to the devil, who happens to be a lying accuser bent on destruction. He's the prince of murder and suicide. That's our enemy. Sometimes those thoughts may be coming from him. Especially if you know I'm allowing anger to linger in my, I've just given the devil a foothold, some voice. And truth be told, when somebody's wronged you or somebody you love, those voices gain traction because they're at least somewhat true. There's reason. We're not angry for no reason. And some of you have very, very good, deep, painful reasons for anger. Some kind of injustice has been done, maybe on repeat. So the offending party probably does deserve some sort of consequence. And in legal situations, maybe they need the police to be involved. Maybe they need the authorities. But the consequence is not generally ours to give. It's not. And I want to show you, there's a parallel passage. I do want to show you a different passage that talks about the same stuff. And I'll put it up on the screen. You can look at it in your Bible if you want. But Romans chapter 12 talks about the same thing. Anger, what do I do when I've been wronged? What does God have for us? In Romans, the first 11 chapters are all talking about the gospel and what God has done for us and the depth of what we have because of Jesus, how it changes us. And then he gets to application finally in chapter 12. He starts talking about different things and he talks about anger, vengeance. And in verse 19, he says, do not take revenge, my friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, it is mine to avenge. I will repay, says the Lord. So what are we supposed to do then? On the contrary, if your enemy's hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Now, is that easy? Is that an easy thing? This is impossibly hard sometimes. Very, very hard. Now, thankfully, I actually have a good example to share, something that I observed this week. Ethan plays basketball. I didn't ask about this. It's not about Ethan. It's about his basketball team, okay? So Ethan had a basketball game this week, and the opposing team had exactly 5 players, okay? You would want to play a basketball game with only 5 players, no subs? That's rough. That is hard. And the star player on the other team got frustrated right away. I mean, he was losing his mind, and we found out later he's losing his mind all the time. But language was coming out. It was flowing. He was getting nissed by the refs. Like, it was rough. His anger affected the entire game. The spectators, the players, the refs, his anger affected everybody. And at one point, I don't even know if I saw this right or not, but it looked like he was on the ground and flopping again. You know, that happens a lot in basketball, a lot of flopping. And he made some kind of motion that was like swinging or something and could hardly see what it was, but it was an aggressive move against one of our players is what it looked like. And that player did not retaliate a bit. And what I saw him do is reach over and just take his hand and pick him back up off the ground. It's like, yeah, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. See, our team did not have to get vengeance. He sunk himself. He sunk himself 2 minutes ago in the game. Like, we'd been winning the entire game. We were, like, slaughtering them. And then they came back. It was a 3-point game towards the end. 2 minutes away from the end of the game. 3-point spread. He gets kicked out of the game once and for all. He's done. They're down to 4 players. They lost the game. They might have taken it if it hadn't been for his uncontrolled anger. But our team, I was proud of them. They didn't lose it. And maybe Ethan could tell you, well, you didn't see this, you didn't see that. I mean, they're not perfect. They're not. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. I think our players were more gracious than I would have been. I was getting mad. When we feel like getting even, God calls us to pour on the kindness. You get cut off on the highway. You're just driving along, having a peaceful day, just happy camper, and somebody cuts you off. You almost have an accident. What's going to happen to you? What in the world? Then you see they're on their phone. That's what did it? Like, oh! That happens to you, not to me, right? What happens inside of you? Man, you're just supposed to smile and wave, overcome evil with good. Hi, all 5 fingers? Are you serious? It's not cool. People do things that make us mad. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. That is hard. And I'm talking about some pretty simple examples. There's some deep ones that, oh man, there's some hard ones. Okay. This is hard, but what else does this passage say? We're still in Romans. It says, leave room for God's wrath. It doesn't say leave room for God's love. Leave room for God's wrath. That's what it says. Let God be the judge. Let him decide what they deserve. There is somebody else not sitting in your seat that makes a better judge. Leave room for God's wrath. And that applies to those little daily irritations. That applies to the biggies. Leave room for God's wrath. You know what the word for room is? You've heard it before. Tapan. Everybody say, tapan. Leave room for God's wrath. It's the same word as foothold. Leave foothold for God's wrath. So you got a choice, my friends. Bring these two passages together. You can give the devil a foothold. You can give him space. Or you can leave room or foothold for God's wrath. Those are your options. Who do you want to give the foothold in your soul? It's not a trick question. Depending on how we handle our anger, we're either giving God space in us or giving the devil space. Wow. I think about that now when I go to bed with unresolved anger. I think about that. I want to give space to God, not the devil. It doesn't matter how guilty the person might be. It doesn't matter. We're talking about my heart here. We're talking about my head, my soul, my being. Have you been stewing in your anger about something way too long? Anybody here? Not going to ask you to come to the front. Have you been stewing about anger for way too long? Does the devil have a foothold in your heart and you know it? Is God's Spirit convicting you about a specific relationship, a festering anger? That might be something to write down in the next steps section of your program. Not to share with anybody else necessarily. What is it you need to deal with for the sake of your own heart? The sake of your own heart. Remember how I said last week, if you were here, relationships are like bank accounts, right? Where every positive interaction is like a deposit, and every negative interaction is like a withdrawal. I'd suggest to you that to violate these relationship commitments we're talking about, it's kind of like taking out high interest loans in your own soul. It's a costly thing to ignore God's wisdom. And I don't know about you, but I really dislike high interest loans. I'm against them all the way around. I avoid them completely. This is the way it works in relationships. The longer you let something go, the longer you let something linger, the longer you don't deal with the anger or the lie, the truth, right? The longer you ignore the commitment, the more debt accumulates inside of you. It's like penalties and fees on an unpaid loan. You stop paying your loan, those penalties add up fast. I worked at a bank. I know how it works. They make a lot of money off of unpaid loans. Unresolved anger grows into bitterness and does all kinds of damage to you more than it does to the other person. Ignoring or hiding the truth also has an effect. When I ignore or hide the truth, sometimes I'm planting a seed of guilt inside of me that will grow until I uproot it by coming clean with the truth. I have a simple example on this one. Years back, I bumped into Pastor Mark's garage door with my car. Bumped into it. Not hard, I didn't like slam through it, but I bumped it, left a little dent. But it wasn't big. It was almost unnoticeable. And so being the godly man of integrity that I am, I decided not to tell him. Lucky for me, he didn't notice. But my guilty conscience noticed. And my burden of guilt grew day by day until I finally came clean with the truth. I confessed it to him. And guess what happened? I confessed and he forgave. My guilt was taken care of. It's not always that easy. But in that situation, it was all over. As long as I kept it hidden, my guilt remained and it grew. Last week, I shared a different example. When I realized the sinful way I had exaggerated with my wife about that money conversation, if you were here last week, that money, I called it a conversation, maybe more like an argument. When I realized I had exaggerated in unhealthy ways, it was a lot healthier for me to, for our relationship, for me to admit that and confess it and say, I was wrong, I exaggerated, that wasn't helpful. Way better than to ignore it and pretend it never happened. And over time, it kind of fades away. That's what we do, right? Ignore it and hope it fades away. Don't pretend it away. Deal with it honestly and with humility. When was the last time you admitted you were wrong and apologized to somebody and asked their forgiveness? How long has it been? I bet you were wrong sometime between then and now, right? That's being honest. That's dealing with today's problems today. I don't like debt. You don't like debt. I don't want a car loan. I don't want a credit card balance. I don't want student loans. I avoid all of that. I'd much rather be paid interest for my investments than pay interest on debts. Anybody with me? Anybody prefer that? I'd rather pay interest. Well, how about we operate this way in our relationships? Let's make investments. If I keep these first two commitments, if I commit to them and I keep them the best I can, I'm honest with people, I deal with today's problems today. Those are relationship investments. And they may cost me something. It can be hard to do some of those things. I don't like admitting I'm wrong. Sometimes I don't want to give up my anger. Sometimes I want to hold on to that. But doing the hard right thing will absolutely pay off in the long run. It will. On the other hand, if I violate these commitments, if I'm dishonest, if I harbor anger in my heart, every violation is another high interest loan that will accumulate penalties and interest until I pay them off. So for you to ask right now, do I have any relational debt that I need to pay off? Has God brought something to your mind? Sin to confess, truth to tell, anger to deal with? I have good news for you. It's not too late. Even if you didn't deal with today's problems today, if you know it now, you can deal with it now. It's best to pay our debts the same day, but just like with money debts, you can pay your relationship debts off now. And I promise you, God is standing by, ready to give grace. He is. 1 John chapter 1, verse 8 to 10. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, nobody else really, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just. He will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim we've not sinned, we make him out to be a liar, and his word has no place in our lives. This is truth. This is God standing ready to forgive whatever we have to confess. Now, I can't promise you how it's going to go if you confess to somebody else. I don't have any guarantees on that. They may or may not be ready, but regardless of what they do, it's better for you to do the right thing. Deal with today's problems today. And if you haven't dealt with yesterday's problems, it's better late than never. So, what's on your mind? What's on your heart? Something maybe should have already been dealt with. Don't ignore it anymore. It's on your mind right now. Write it down. Commit to God. Okay, God, we're going to deal with this. Maybe you can't deal with it this second, but today, maybe you're justified in it, in your anger. Maybe you have legitimate fear of telling the truth, but doing the right thing is always worth the cost. So let's keep these commitments, even when other people don't. You might need to get help. That's okay. Because relationships are confusing and complicated and complex, and sometimes, like, I don't even know what the right thing is to do. Just get help. Ask somebody else. Because to not deal with it, unresolved anger is destructive, not just to relationships, but to your own soul. It's poison. So get help, but don't let it linger. It is time the devil finds somebody else to pick on. Let's close up that space. So he has no more foothold. Give space to God. Happy Father's Day, right? This hasn't exactly been a Father's Day message. But dads, imagine what kind of dad you'd be if you just followed these first two. There's three more. This isn't everything there is to say about relationships. But what if we just kept these first two consistently? By God's grace, we can do this. We can grow in this. We're not going to get it perfect, but we can get it better. We can get it more consistently. We can do this. God is our help. He is with us. And these are things he wants to be true of us. So let me pray. for all of us. God, thank you for talking to us about these things. Thank you for this wisdom from the book of Ephesians. We need help. And some of us, we got specific things on our mind and our heart, things that we've let go. We need to not let go of anymore. So God, give us wisdom as we commit to doing something about it. And if somebody needs some help and some guidance and some advice, may they not be afraid to get it. Getting help is not gossip. Getting help is wise. So give us wisdom as we try to apply these things and live these things out in a way that maybe we haven't been as committed to before. Thank you for your mercy. God, you see us as we are. We are your children. We are growing. We are learning. We mess up. I do. I'm pretty sure I'm in good company. So Lord, be merciful and help us to do this better so that our relationships can be more healthy, more satisfying, that we can be more honoring to you. In Jesus' name, amen. As the music team comes up, why don't you take a minute to think about what might be a next step for you? We're going to close on this song. It's called Run to the Father. It's just an invitation to take it to the Father who's merciful and ready to help. So let's rise to our feet. Most of you hopefully know this song. Let's bring it as a prayer.
I've carried a burden too long on my own. I wasn't created to bear it alone. I hear your invitation to let it all go. I say it now, I'm laying down, and I know that I need you. I run to the Father, I fall into grace. I'm done with the hiding, no reason to wait. My heart needs a surgeon, my soul needs a friend. So I'll run to the Father again and again and again and again. Oh, 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 you saw my condition, had a plan from the start. Your son for redemption, price for my heart. I don't have a context for that kind of love. I don't understand, I can't comprehend. All I know is I need you. I run to the Father, I fall into grace. I'm done with the hiding, no reason to wait. My heart needs so needs a friend. So I'll run to the Father again and again and again and again. Oh, 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 and again and again. Oh, 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 my heart has been in your sights long before my first breath, running into your arms is running to life from death. And I feel this rush deep in my chest. Your mercy is calling out. Just as I am, you pull me in, and I know I need you now. Run to the Father, I fall into grace. I'm done with the hiding, no reason to wait. My heart needs a surgeon. My soul needs a friend, so I'll run to the Father again and again. I run to the Father, I fall into grace. I'm done with the hiding, no reason to wait. My heart found a surgeon, my soul found a friend. So I run to the Father again and again and again and again. Oh, 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 and again, oh, 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 and again, oh, 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 and again, oh.
Times as it takes. In Jesus' name, amen. You can have a seat. Come on up, Shannon.
Good morning. Like Nate mentioned, we have the Church at the Park coming next Sunday. So 10 o'clock, keep in mind the time is 10 o'clock, not 9 o'clock. The band shell in the park. Grace and Church on the Hill will be joining all together for worship. And I don't think we've mentioned before, but it is in your program. There's a free barbecue lunch afterwards. So Pastor of Grace is a barbecue aficionado, and he will be barbecuing, smoking some meat. So you can feel free to stick around and enjoy that. And then the following Sunday, we have another picnic, and this will be our baptism Sunday and a picnic at the Morrows. A sign-up sheet went out via email. There's a lot more info in that in your bulletin if you want to take a look for those details. And then lastly, happy Father's Day. If you are a dad or a father-like figure, thank you for that, and I hope you enjoy this day and feel loved. There's snacks and fellowship downstairs if you want to hang out. Thanks.